Ordinary Fellowship is a podcast inspired by the Puritan practice of godly conference or spiritual conversations among believers. These spiritual conversations will offer practical spiritual help for Christian living. I'm Jeremy Lee, and with me is my co-host, Matthew McLaughlin.
Hello, Jeremy. How are you today?
Hey, Matthew.
So, in this podcast, we're going to seek to answer three questions. Question number one on this, our inaugural podcast, is who are we and why should you care? Question number two is, what are we here to talk about? And question number three is, how is it that we know each other? So question number one, who are we? So Jeremy, why don't you tell us a little bit about you?
Well, I have been married for almost 26 years. By the time we actually broadcast this, it will be 26 years. I'm currently the father of five, but again, as we broadcast, when we broadcast this episode, I will be the father of six. We're awaiting the new arrival for sometime in September, so we're excited about that. I was in the ministry for about 8.5 years. I served as a pastor and senior pastor in Michigan and a transitional pastor here in Dayton, Ohio. So that's a little bit about my experience. Matthew, do you have any worthwhile experience?
I don't know if we would call it worthwhile, but I have served in volunteer or part-time positions at three different churches over the last 15 years. Served for a few years while I was in college, and then in one church in Ohio, and then have served here, volunteer, where we met each other, which we'll get to in a little bit, here at Two Rivers Community Church. So that's a little bit about my experience. And if you ask, what have I done? Well, if you name it, I might have done it in some form or fashion. So, but
you're also a single guy.
I am single. This is a true statement. But it's,
and keep up on the Twitter wars.
Yes, you know, we have to keep
on
up
the blogosphere.
Until they drive you completely insane and then you have to take a break. But
you're the one that keeps me updated. So.
I know. I mean, what is, so that's our ministry experience, for lack of a better way of saying it. But what are some hobbies you have?
Well, the number one thing I do is, as a hobby, is to read. I read, I'm on schedule to read about 35 books this year. I like to read, I really like to read. I read theology mostly. But I do like occasionally to read a fiction book. Every so often I read The Lord of the Rings again and The Hobbit. I play guitar as well, but I don't play as much as I used to when I was a kid. And so then any other time that I may have, I spend with my family, obviously with five children and another on the way. A lot of time is devoted to family. So, and then, of course, I work full-time, so I don't have a lot of spare time. And now I'm using up my spare time talking to Matthew on a podcast. So my new hobby is going to be podcasting with Matthew.
It seems like a good use of your time. So.
You seem sarcastic.
Well, if you haven't figured out yet, and the listener will find out eventually, that probably is a good descriptor of Matthew someday. But, you know, we'll do the best we can. My hobbies would be, like Jeremy, I like to read. And I also like to spend time watching sports, probably more than I should, and studying politics and history. But as of late, that's been more of a challenge because it makes you want to, like, scream. No matter what position you might have, there's a reason to want to scream about it. So that's a little bit about who we are. But the other thing, as it relates to the podcast, is one of the reasons why we felt like it was important for this is that we had a good blend of theology. So if to explain, Jeremy, how would you describe your outlook about theology and what you enjoy?
So I enjoy the more speculative, theoretical, the hard stuff that most people's eyes glaze over when they have to read that. But, you know, that stuff gets me excited. That's the kind of thing that I enjoy. I especially enjoy historical theology in relationship to the Puritans and the Reformed during the Reformation time, Luther and Calvin. And then I just recently have started reading Augustine and Thomas Aquinas to go back further in the church history. So I'm working on those things now. Covenant theology, especially Baptistic covenant theology, and the law and gospel distinction, the importance of the law for Christians today. Those are some of the things that I'm really thinking a lot about. Apologetics as well, because I'm weird among the circles that I'm with, because I hold to classical apologetics, and most of my friends hold to presuppositionalism. So those are issues that I really think a lot about and read a lot about. And so what about you, Matthew?
Well, I'm like those people he talked about who your eyes glaze over when you have to read heavy-duty, hardcore theology and all that speculative stuff. I tend to find myself enjoying practical theology. What I mean by that is the application of theology. What does this look like on a day-to-day basis in someone's life? That would tie into the fact that I forgot to mention that when I went to school, I had a degree in biblical counseling, and so that really piqued my interest in practical theology and to understand how this truth lives itself out on a daily basis. So what does it look like? That leads us to why we feel like that this is a good balance, that Jeremy brings the more heavy-duty academic side, and I tie in with the practical, and we think that we'll have a rounded conversation with these two outlooks on the subject. So that's a little bit about who we are. But then the next question we have to answer is, why are we doing this podcast? So, Jeremy, if someone asked in the midst of all the podcasts that someone can listen to, why should they listen to ours? What would be your answer?
Well, other than that we're really good looking and nice to listen to, because neither of those things are probably true.
This is true.
That's why we're doing a podcast and not a
This is also true.
A YouTube video. We don't want to scare the children. The reason why we think this podcast will be valuable for anybody, obviously the things we're talking about, at least the things we've been discussing, are going to be more geared to people who are Christians, though in the future we may delve into subjects that even people who aren't Christians may be interested in. There's three things we really hope to do. One is to inform, and most podcasts, most Christian podcasts have that as a goal. They're going to teach you something. So, and obviously, to discuss the topic, we have to make sure that people know what we're talking about. So there's going to be some informative, but it's going to be a conversation between Matthew and I, not a lecture type thing. So if Matthew doesn't understand what the heck I'm talking about, he'll be able to say, what the heck are you talking about? And hopefully that will help me to explain it in a more careful way. So information, teaching is going to be part of it. But that's pretty normal for podcasts. But the other thing we want to do is we want to model spiritual conversations. Now, Matthew agrees with me on absolutely everything. We don't have any disagreements. So there's never going to be an argument between me and Matthew, right, Matthew?
Never, ever.
So we want to model spiritual conversations because we think these are conversations. You know what I read at the beginning, our blurb about this being inspired by the Puritans and Godly Conference. Ordinary Fellowship is our name because this should be the normal run-of-the-mill thing for Christians, where we're discussing theological, biblical, practical aspects of Christian living with one another. And so we hope to model those kind of things and to encourage further discussion than what we cover even in an episode. We hope to model this. And then the big thing is we want to make sure it's practical. And that's where Matthew's going to be especially helpful. Not that he won't be helpful in other areas, but when it comes to the practical stuff, Matthew definitely is better at it than I am. And but we want to talk about these things, and sometimes they're going to be subjects that may be deep, things that you may not ordinarily talk about in church. But we hope to. Matthew is supposed to ask me, "So what? So what? What does it even matter that you've just spent 15 minutes of her time explaining this? Why should anybody really care?" So we want to make sure that this is practical, because we believe, both of us believe, that theology is to be lived out. That and so we've got to. The discussions we have, we want to bring them to a practical level. And sometimes the things that we're going to talk about aren't even going to be theoretical. They're going to be practical from beginning to end. So, but practical is one of the things that we want to really emphasize. And hopefully that makes us stand out among other podcasts.
So that would be our purpose, but we also have some guiding principles. We have three guiding principles. The first one is fellowship. The second one is that we are confessional. And the third one is that we hold to the means of grace, or, to say in another way, in spiritual disciplines. So, Jeremy, when we talk about the fact that we are holding to fellowship, what do we mean?
Well, fellowship is integral to the Christian life. We need each other. When we become believers in Christ, we're saved into a family. We become united with other people. So it is central to being a Christian that you start belonging to other people. Now, fellowship, obviously, I mean, you and I are sitting here talking about this, hanging out together, with microphones in between us, of course, safely social distanced. but we're hanging out here talking about these things, and this is part of it, but it's deeper than that. It's having a life that's connected with other people. So fellowship is really important. One of the things Matthew and I have both recently said is that a lot of people think that the Christian life is me and the Holy Spirit and the Bible under a tree, and that's all we need. And so Christianity has become very individualistic, so that you have individual spirituality. But this is not the Christianity of the Bible. The Christianity of the Bible is community. And you can't faithfully practice Christianity without the community, because you can't preach to yourself, you can't give the ordinances to yourself, and we're commanded to pray for and with others. So fellowship is essential to everything that it means to be a Christian. And we'll talk about the means of grace. Fellowship is in a loose sense one of those means of grace. So it's vitally important for a Christian life, which means the local church is vitally important for the Christian life. There's no such thing as a Lone Ranger Christian. People may attempt it, but it's not biblical Christianity. It's not the Christianity of the New Testament. So
that's why we hold that fellowship is so important. So just from a practical standpoint, from a counseling standpoint, I'm sure if you spend any time around other people, you'll realize the same thing I've come to realize, and so has Jeremy, that individualism is what leads to the majority of problems in people's lives. When we find ourselves in community, it's much harder to hide our struggles and our problems when we have people who truly care about us, who are seeking to actively engage in relationship and fellowship with each other. So, but you already mentioned it. So what are the means of grace? What we also call the spiritual disciplines. Why is that a guiding principle?
So the means of grace and spiritual disciplines, the terms are interchangeable, although they focus on different aspects. So the ordinary means of grace are, so there's, when we talk about ordinary, what we mean is they're, of course, the normal, but also Matthew's single, I'm married, and both Matthew's singleness and my marriage are means of grace in my life to help us to grow in godliness. But these are individual things that, I mean, you're either married or you're single, but these are individual things that not everybody participates in. But the ordinary means of grace are the preaching of the word, the preaching of the word, the ordinances, and prayer, prayer together, corporate prayer. So privately as well. So you, the means of grace, there's public means of grace and there's private means of grace. But these are the ordinary ones, the usual ones. And the reason why they're called means of grace is because God imparts grace through these, through his word, through prayer, and through the ordinances, to bless his people and encourage our faith. So they're means of grace. They're because through them we receive grace. That these are the places where we meet God, that he ordinarily comes to us. So when we talk about ordinary means of grace, when we're saying the means of grace, the emphasis then is on the grace that we receive as we participate in these things. But then spiritual disciplines has to do with our responsibility. We are, these aren't just, yes, we receive grace at them, but we have a duty to make use of the word and the sacraments, and we have a duty to pray. And so there's discipline involved as well. Jerry Bridges talked about disciplined grace, and that's the idea, because he didn't, you can become imbalanced if you focus on in sanctification or spiritual growth. You can become imbalanced thinking this idea of let go and let God, that you don't have to do anything and God does everything. The other view is that you have to do everything. It all depends on you. Both of those are not biblical ideas of how to grow. And so the balanced view is disciplined grace, where we have to, yes, God meets us in these places, but with God's help, we have to meet him there as well. So there's grace and discipline involved in these ordinary means of grace. And I like to emphasize the grace aspect, so I normally call them the ordinary means of grace.
And I tend to emphasize disciplines, so there you go. That's another example of how we work together. So we've talked about two of our guiding principles. The third one is that we're confessional. Now, confessional might sound different to some in our audience. So when we say confessional, what do we mean?
Well, so it traces us back to the creeds and confessions of the history of the church. So the creeds are primarily the Apostles' Creed, Athanasian Creed, the Nicene Creed, the creeds of Chalcedon as well. Those four creeds really define what Christianity is, and they're ancient creeds that Christians, whether they're Protestant, Catholic, or Orthodox, would affirm these creeds. The Orthodox would have a problem with one of them, I believe the Athanasius. But by and large, anyone who calls themselves a Christian should be in agreement with these creeds. So they're important because they connect us historically to the past. They're important because there's unity there. They're also important because they define what Christianity is. One of the things that first turned me on to the creeds and confessions was when I was learning about the cults of Christianity. one of the things that kept coming up is they deny historic Christian teaching. And always what was meant by the historic Christian teaching was the creeds and the confession. So the creeds are the ancient creeds of the church. The confessions have to do with after the Protestant Reformation. The Protestants came up with many confessions in order to answer charges of heresy and instruct people in the faith to show unity with other Reformed. Because Reformed is a specific, let's say, Reformational groups. So they wanted to, some of it was to show unity. And so these confessions do the same thing. They connect us to the past. They give us unity. They define our faith historically. So all of those things are important, but one of the reasons I like to use the word confessional is because 50 years ago, people probably would have used the word evangelical, but evangelical is basically meaningless now, and if it means anything, it means that you're a Republican. And so we don't want to affirm those things. So we're saying we're confessional because we want to be traced back to the ancient creeds of the church, the reformational, the Protestant viewpoint. That's what we hold to. It's a way of saying we're conservative, traditional, and evangelical in a more, I have to explain it, but it's better than using the word evangelical when people make assumptions that aren't true.
So, if we were going to summarize, we could say it like this, that our guiding principles is that we find ourselves firmly planted in the confession of the past that ties us to the past as we seek to speak about the means of grace that God has provided as we discipline ourselves to accomplish them as we engage in fellowship with each other, both Jeremy and I, and then also with us engaging in fellowship with you, the listener. And so these are the things that we seek to guide. And if you have any questions, we plan to discuss each of these guiding principles in later episodes. We've talked about who we are. We've talked about why we're here. The last part we have to do is, well, how did this come about? Well, it comes about because we met each other. Where did we meet each other? We met each other at the church where we're both members, which is Two Rivers Community Church in the northern suburbs of Dayton, Ohio. We just want to take a little bit of time and to describe the church that we are members of. Jeremy, how would you describe Two Rivers?
Well, Two Rivers was planted about 30 years ago. Mac Williams was the founding pastor, and he continues to be the pastor today. And there's still several people, several couples or families who have been here since the beginning. Our worship service is the music is somewhat contemporary. Pastor Mac preaches expository messages out of God's Word. We spend a good deal of time in prayer at our worship services as well. I think the things that we talked about as our guiding principles are also things that are important to our church, being confessional. Our church subscribes to the abstract of principles, and one of the reasons that they subscribe to that confession is because it was the first Southern Baptist confession. There's other Baptist confessions, but this one was the first Southern Baptist confession. So that was important to them to show solidarity with the past. And no doubt fellowship is important. We meet here every Sunday. Well, it was better pre-COVID, but now fellowship is pretty hard. Obviously, that's central to our church as well. So I've been here for about 6 or 7 years. Matthew's been here for 2 years. We quickly became friends, and we decided to do a podcast so that we could share our conversations that we normally have with the whole wide world.
So we've answered our three questions, but one of the things we want to do is we want to come up with one final question. Here's our final question. So, Jeremy, as you look over the course of your life, who are some of the people or the books that have influenced you?
Well, the people are easy. The books, not so much. R.C. Sproul is number one, hands down, the person who has influenced me the most outside of, I had good professors in college. I have had some faithful pastors and Sunday school teachers that have been formational as well, but nobody would know their names. But R.C. Sproul, hands down, is the guy that's influenced me the most. Norman Geisler is another big influence. When I was in college, I listened to all the cassette tapes that they had of R.C. Sproul, Norman Geisler, and also Dr. Walter Martin. Though he's not as big of an influence, and the only reason is because he didn't write that many books. So if he had written more books, I'm sure he would have been just as influential to me as Sproul and Geisler. Those guys are number one. Sproul, number one. Joel Beakey's really important to me. He's really the one that turned me on to the Puritans. He's been very helpful in those things. So I appreciate Joel Beakey a lot. As far as books, some of these we probably will be talking about later. There's a book by Gary Friesen called Decision Making in the Will of God that had a huge impact on me because I was trying to make a decision, and the traditional way of making decisions wasn't panning out, and so I sought advice, and I found good, solid biblical advice in Gary Friesen's book. James White's book, The King James Only Controversy, helped me immensely because Matthew and I both are recovering fundamentalists, so we had to deal with the King James Only issue, and that was really helpful for me. Joel Beakey's book, Living for the Glory of God, was absolutely important for me, especially in regards to sanctification or Christian growth. So the things that we'll be talking about as far as ordinary means of grace and all those kind of things, that's from Joel Beakey and Living for the Glory of God. So those things are all foundational and important to me. Mac Williams, our pastor here, has been a good positive influence on me. I won't say yet in what specific area, but maybe at a later time we'll talk about that. What about you, Matthew?
Well, I would say that as I think through who's influenced me, I would agree with Jeremy that I've had professors at college and also pastors who, especially the pastor I sat under and the assistant when I went on extension at college, had a great deal of influence in my life, in my outlook, ministry philosophy. But as you come to people whose names are more known, I greatly have been influenced by David Pallison and Paul Tripp and a few of the other writers who have written for Christian Counseling Education Foundation. I've also influenced by Jerry Bridges. Then also another great influence in my life has been the work of Mark Dever and Nine Marks, and just how they have explained and expressed the importance of the church and the work that it has and we have been called to. If I think through books, they would be those books written by those guys. So Instruments in the Redeemer's Hands and How People Change by Tripp, and Tim Lane and Paul Tripp have influenced me in thinking through things. And then Jerry Bridges, Trusting God, and just a few others of his. And then reading Nine Marks of a Healthy Church, and also the Compelling Community and Deliberate Church from Dever. And those have influenced me, and hopefully we'll talk about them in future episodes. That's a taste of where we're headed. If you have any questions or comments, please feel free to send us an email and communicate with us. We look forward to it. You can email us at ordinaryfellowship@gmail.com, or you can follow us on Facebook at Ordinary Fellowship. We are grateful for your time to listen to us. We're thankful for just all that we hope to accomplish here. Steele and Ordinary Fellowship, where we seek to have spiritual conversations for practical spiritual help.